The FAA says a router fouled up flight planning for 4 hours yesterday. Connecticut NIMBYs are appealing to the U.S. Supreme Court to stop the FAA. And an emergency AD affecting Continental engines expands. This is Aero News. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for downloading this AeroCast. Here's what's up in aviation for Friday, November 20th, 2009. The FAA says that at about 5 a.m. Eastern Time yesterday, a router problem disrupted a number of air traffic management services, including flight plan processing, for about 4 hours. The agency says radar and communication with aircraft were not affected, and critical safety systems remained up and running. The failure was attributed to a software configuration problem within the FAA telecommunications infrastructure in Salt Lake City. FAA services used primarily for traffic flow and flight planning were unavailable electronically. The FAA says controllers managed flight plan data manually and safely according to its contingency plans. The FAA wants us to know there is no indication that a cyber attack was to blame. A team of FAA experts was already on the case by midday, and that Randy Babbitt was meeting personally with reps from Harris Corporation, the company that manages FTI, to discuss ways to make sure this doesn't happen again. NIMBYs in Connecticut are nearing the end of their options to appeal the FAA's new airspace plan over the Northeast U.S. corridor. The state's Attorney General, Richard Blumenthal, filed a formal petition Tuesday seeking review by the U.S. Supreme Court of a ruling by the Court of Appeals that allows flight path changes over the state. The new routes would send more large aircraft over the southwestern part of Connecticut. The Weston Forum reports that the Court of Appeals for the District of Columbia in June upheld the new flight paths, which Blumenthal, along with local government officials and others, say will increase noise and pollution over the area. They further claim the FAA did not follow its own rules in establishing the corridors. The FAA has updated an emergency airworthiness directive for certain Continental piston aircraft engines which have suffered premature wear of hydraulic lifter faces in as little as 5 hours time in operation that could cause a loss of power. AD 2009-24-52 adds the 550 cubic inch engine series to Monday's AD, which had specified the 240, 360, 470, and 520. Find a link to the full text of the AD at the bottom of the text version of this story at aero-news.net. Up next on ANN, Bensenville throws in the towel in its fight with Chicago. Organizers of Aero Friedrichshafen see a bright future. And here's the latest on what you can put in an airliner seat back pocket. You're listening to Aero News.
Uncramp your style in a new Citation CJ2 Plus from Cessna. Now with integrated ProLine 21 avionics, FADEC, and a restyled cockpit and cabin. In the CJ2 Plus, you'll carry more payload than you could in the original CJ2. You'll climb and cruise faster. You'll have the freedom to use even shorter runways. And you'll do it all on less fuel. For a sure thing, call 1-800-4-CESSNA.
We're back with more of your Aero Briefing for November 20th. I'm Paul Plack. WGN-TV reports the town of Bensenville, Illinois, has run out of money to fight Chicago Mayor Richard Daley's vision to expand runways at Chicago O'Hare, citing depleted financial resources to continue the court fight. The expansion plan calls for about 600 homes in the town to be bulldozed. Although Bensenville was able to stall the plan, many of the homes were already vacant and boarded up, and unlikely candidates for occupancy while their future hung in limbo. The settlement will bring $16 million from the city of Chicago to help soundproof homes that remain in Bensenville. Before the recession hit, business aviation in Europe was on a tear. The organizations of Aero 2010 in Friedrichshafen, Germany, returned home from AOPA Summit with optimism that next year's show will play a growing role in the marketing plans of aviation manufacturers in Europe. The show becomes an annual one starting next year, and organizers say a major breakthrough has been coordination of dates with Sun and Fun in Lakeland, ensuring that the two shows don't overlap, forcing exhibitors to choose one or the other. Aero Friedrichshafen has chosen dates for every year through 2020 and posted them on its website. Aero 2010 project manager Thomas Grunwald says 200 exhibitors are already booked for the upcoming show. Quote, "This positive intermediate number is a positive indication in terms of our further preparations in the coming months," unquote. You can find out more about the show and its history at www.aero-expo.com. Remember the brouhaha a few months ago over news that airlines might have to enforce a rule against letting passengers put anything of their own in seat back pockets on airliners? Well, the FAA has issued some clarification. In an Information for Operators bulletin this week, the FAA explains that the overriding priority is making sure nothing on the floor of an airliner impedes an evacuation should the worst happen. Since the seat back pockets are only rated to contain 3 pounds of stuff, it's a problem if you stuff your 7-pound computer in there. Well, the FAA now simply says the pockets are not approved stowage for carry-on baggage, and that while you're fine to put your sunglasses or cell phone in there, anything that brings the total pocket contents over 3 pounds must not be in there during takeoff or landing. During flight, if cabin crew members feel that what you've stuffed in the pocket might fly around the cabin in turbulence, they're supposed to ask you to stow it in one of the two places where your carry-on baggage is allowed, under the seat in front of you or in the overhead bin. That's probably moot point until after the holidays anyway. I'm guessing the SkyMall catalog's going to weigh 3 pounds by itself next month. Still ahead, Flight Design begins CTLS deliveries in India. Boeing can now shoot down UAVs with lasers. And who besides Boeing makes 747s? You're listening to Aero News.
Welcome to Cirrus Design, maker of the world's best-selling personal aircraft, the sleek SR-22. Cirrus planes feature the latest technologies and are equipped with an exclusive, life-saving parachute system. It is our mission to make personal aviation safe, affordable, and convenient. At Cirrus, we offer a test drive like no one else in the business.
We're back to wrap up your Aero Briefing for Friday, November 20th. I'm Paul Plack. The best-selling light sport aircraft in the U.S. has established a new beachhead, with its first reported registrations in India. Flight Design announced on Wednesday that Carver Aviation, which claims to be the biggest flight school in India, can now take delivery of 2 CTLS light sport aircraft, which will be used for flight training. Carver Aviation will also be a dealer. Flight Design CEO Matthias Betsch noted that the plane's success in the U.S. sped the process in India. Quote, "Thanks to the demonstrable quality of the product and to excellent operational experience proven through the delivery of more than 300 aircraft in the U.S. market alone, Flight Design was able to obtain these approvals in a very short time." Unquote. John Gilmore, who took over as head of U.S. sales for Flight Design USA this summer, says there are signs of a recovery underway. Quote, "The market movement in the U.S. is encouraging in the last 4 weeks and is significantly above September-October 2008. These days, when we hear about military UAVs, they're usually performing recon or other complicated missions. But in a flashback to an earlier time when they were called target drones, Boeing says it recently demonstrated the use of a mobile laser weapon system to track and destroy small UAVs over China Lake, California. The tests were witnessed by officials of the U.S. Air Force and Army. Boeing VP Gary Fitzmyer remarked, quote, "The Air Force and Boeing achieved a directed energy breakthrough with these tests. Matrix's performance is especially noteworthy because it demonstrated unprecedented, ultra-precise, and lethal acquisition, pointing, and tracking at long ranges using relatively low laser power," unquote. Matrix is, of course, an acronym. It stands for Mobile Active Targeting Resource for Integrated Experiments. It's hoped the technology might one day be useful against any kind of airborne threat, including missiles. And finally today, if you're my age, you can recall massive changes in the way news is brought to the general public over the past 25 years. For one thing, you wouldn't have been able to listen to this Aerocast in 1974, and cable news outlets hadn't been invented yet. There were 3 big TV networks, 4 big radio networks, thriving newspapers, and details of aviation accidents and investigations were often brought to you by reporters with expertise in their subject matter. Back in those days, the National Transportation Safety Board held press conferences once per day on major investigations, and they did it at 9 p.m. local time. That meant if the investigation was going on in California, East Coast TV stations got the daily update too late to include in their 11 p.m. newscasts, and that was just how it was. Speaking before the National Press Club in Washington, D.C. on Monday, current NTSB Chair Deborah Herzman said things are very different today, and the board has had to adapt. News outlets get updates several times a day, and the NTSB fields questions from reporters, quote, who are charged with covering everything from sports to snowstorms to crash sites. These reporters are very good surrogates for the public who, although they rely on our transportation system every day, often have a limited understanding of how it operates and how safe it is, unquote. She even shared a couple of her favorite questions from reporters with limited aviation backgrounds. Among them, who makes 747s besides Boeing? And what kinds of planes make those white lines in the sky? She added, quote, and don't get me started about Balloon Boy, unquote. You know, I can't believe I just started a story with the words, if you're my age. Look at me, I'm turning into Andy Rooney. Excuse me while I go trim my eyebrows. That's the latest from Aero News. Remember to check out the ANN special feature. Today, it's part two of Jim Campbell's candid conversation with EAA's Tom Poberesny. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for listening. Enjoy your weekend and have a clear and unlimited day.